Harmon will probably try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30.
Hello, and welcome to the S-Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture topics beginning with the letter S. I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Danny Sudhirakam.
I'm Sung Lee.
I'm not. I'm Alex Lau.
I'm Kevin Chu. Sung, where are you? He's not supposed to show up today, but no. I'm used to Sung being here.
It's true. So today's topic is sport, which is one of the big reasons that Sung isn't here, because he's very much not a sports fan. However...
Oh, sport. I heard something else.
Sporn?
Sorry, carry on.
So close.
So close.
Sports, sporn, close enough.
So anyway... It's pretty fortunate that we've managed to get the four biggest sports fans at the S-Words podcast at the same table together. I mean...
You mean the only four sports fans.
Yeah, by four biggest, we mean only.
Well, Lita watches sports. She doesn't know much about them, but she watches them.
She watches sports with me, and we like to scream and celebrate things.
That's actually true. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and Miho has gone to...
I will say Lita's probably on par or not as much as Miho.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I can take credit for Miho, right? For Miho being a sports
Pretty
fan?
Pretty much, yeah. Weren't you?
Because the thing was that
for
the
first... I was working at the student store.
Yeah, you were working at the student store. And then this was back when Cal football still wasn't fully popular and selling out yet. And so I had...
By which we mean awful, terrible, terrible,
it
awful.
It wasn't awful. It was about 3-4 years ago when they were... Okay. It was the Tedford era. And...
Still had a winning record.
Yeah, but the thing is that they still gave you free tickets for the first game along with your season ticket.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, who am I going to give this to? Oh, hey, Danny's working the student store. Let's bring Miho to a game. She's like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
And she liked it.
Yeah.
Which was amazing to me. I was like, hey, score. The next year that Miho and Danny got season tickets, and they've been season ticket holders ever since.
Yep. Never looked back.
This was while I was in Japan, maybe?
This was while you were in Japan.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I would have had, hey, Alex, let's go to the game. And that would have been the end of that discussion. As opposed to, well, Alex is out of the country. And so... I guess I can bring Miho to a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so sport is a huge part of our lives. And so let's go with the usual topic, which is the first sport you started watching.
Oh. Duh.
Danny?
Duh. That's the thing. I got vague memories of how football works.
American football, that is?
Just Sunday.
The real football that we win at.
Well, you have to define we here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yes. Because yeah, someone in America is going to win every year.
Okay,
yes.
Just check.
Yeah.
So you have vague recollections of football growing up in the yes. LA area?
Yeah, back when LA had football teams, I think.
Yeah, the Rams and the Raiders.
When they had pro football teams who called themselves pro football teams.
Yes. Yeah. And they paid their athletes over the table. Not that we're bitter or anything.
No, not bitter at all.
Oh, that's being said a lot more on these shows.
It's not that we're bitter or anything.
It's a sports episode.
It's a sports episode. There's so much bitterness in sports. So, Kevin, what about you?
I used to follow baseball. I used to follow the Oakland A's for Ricky Henderson, who was my favorite.
Damn it.
Then I went over to watching basketball, so I watched during the, what was the finals with the Rockets and the Knicks, and poor Patrick Ewing never got his ring. And after that, American football, and then after that, college football, and then a period of no sports, and then back to some sports.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah, my first sports watching was most likely baseball, because the thing that brings people into sports is either your parents or your friends from school. And my dad was a huge baseball fan, so and he wasn't born in the United States, but he became a big baseball fan, and so he just kind of passed that on to me.
All right.
Brought me to a bunch of games. He even brought me to some 49ers games, too.
My first sport is football, because I grew up in the Bay Area. I was born in 1981, which was the first championship year for the 49ers.
Yeah, my dad went to that Super Bowl.
Wow. Which Super Bowl was that? Was that the one at Stanford? No.
That was the one in Detroit.
In Detroit, okay.
And they didn't go back to Detroit for a long time after that.
Yeah, back when Detroit was relevant for football purposes, or at all, really.
Hello, Detroit. Please send your hate mail.
Yeah. Please send feedback, too. Feedback at s-podcast.com.
No, don't. That goes to me. Just go on twitter.com/s_words. Bother that guy.
So anyway, but yeah, I grew up on my father's knee watching football. I mean, the first football game that I remember watching was the 1985 Super Bowl with Joe Montana up against the Bengals.
No, 85 was not the Bengals.
I have to look this up now. It was a Patriots team. Okay.
81 was the 81-82 season was the Niners against the Bengals.
Okay.
85-86 was the Bears beating the Patriots.
Okay. So I'm getting the year wrong because, you know, I was approximately 3 years old at the time. So let me go look ahead again. The other Super Bowl that I remember while I was growing up is Wide Right. I remember watching that on TV, which is a painful memory for many fans in Buffalo. Anyway, but yeah, those are the I grew up with football, and I will breathe football until the day I die, basically. Which is surprising because my dad and the entire Vietnamese community in the area really latched onto football really hard. And it's, you know, not a native sport to them. In fact, a lot of people still don't really fully know the rules. But they came over in the late 70s, and in the early 80s in the Bay Area, Joe Montana started winning. So they were like, hey, it's an easy way to insert ourselves into culture. So there you go.
Yeah, speaking of non-native sports, hockey. My dad is a huge hockey fan. He used to watch the San Francisco Seals, which were a minor league team when they were playing in San Francisco.
Jeez.
So he would go down to the Cow Palace and watch the Seals, and he brought me to a few games of the San Francisco Shamrocks, which were the replacement minor league team.
Wow. We're bringing out some old things, old S words here.
And then we watched the Sharks back
when they were in the Cow Palace too, right?
Oh, wow. All three teams are S's.
Yeah.
Yes. How about that?
So anyway, that's a lot of good stories about how we grew up. You know, what about the favorite sport we used to play? I mean, a lot of us grew up nerdy, but we still played. We were forced to play sports, right, Danny?
Let's see.
Were you?
I was forced to. I did not enjoy any of it.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me think.
What about Tecmo Bowl? Wait, you didn't have video games until college.
Video sports, eh?
Tecmo Bowl counts as sports? Tecmo Bowl will count as sports for this one.
I'm sorry. I think that the earliest recollection I can think of even video game based sports for entertainment purposes is tennis on the Dreamcast.
Ooh, Virtua Tennis. Very good
virtual
game.
Virtua Tennis.
Good game. All right.
That was actually the single turning point when I went, okay, fine, sports might be entertaining.
I did Little League, T-ball, never went past that. My parents put me in AYSO for soccer. And then all the usual kind of PE sports like basketball and football. Actually, we played them during our lunch and recess. So actually had a lot of familiarity playing those as well. And then tennis for several years in middle school through end of high school. And in terms of video sports, I had, Madden 93, NBA Live 95 through 97.
You weren't an NBA Jam guy?
I had NBA Jam. Loved that game.
Yeah.
I played it so much even when...
Big heads.
Yeah. Oh, God. And Bill Clinton and all those things. But then after that, I went up to college. I picked up Madden again from, I think, Madden 2003. And I've played every one till, like, 2007 or something. And then kind of stopped all the video sports. In fact, stopped most of the video games. So, yeah. That's both histories.
Ooh. Yeah. Alex, what were you forced to play as a kid?
I played CYO baseball. CYO is sort of the San Francisco like parochial school version.
Yeah, Christian youth organization or whatever. Yeah, I played CYO baseball too.
Yeah, and then we played basketball. I played a lot of pickup basketball throughout high school and college. Basketball kind of became my main sport to play.
I played basketball and baseball as a kid. Baseball, I can actually tell you my career in Little League Baseball. I was 1 for 14 with a single. There's an RBI single, though.
Wow.
And actually two hit-by-pitches.
Oh, my God.
You had one vicious league.
It wasn't a vicious league. It was kids. It didn't hurt that much. It felt really surprising.
Whoa. Think about that again in context to what you said. It didn't hurt that much. It felt
I was a kid.
No.
It
you didn't have to start
that much.
It was kids. Kid. Yes, they were kids.
It didn't hurt that much. It felt surprising.
Well, you know.
I got nothing. What?
Yeah.
What kind of school did you go to again?
Catholic school.
There we go.
All boys.
It was all boys in high school. It was co-ed in grade school.
Okay.
But yeah, but the thing is that basketball is a lot more fun to play because you spend a lot less time sitting down. Although, considering that I was the nerdy kid who got picked last, I was only played in the fourth quarter out of pity. So, you know, because there were rules at the time, you know, for kids, they have to play a full quarter in a game so you don't feel left out, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just left me in and assumed I was a handicap.
Good job, Danny.
But yeah, I didn't have to deal with
that. You still have to be the best.
But the thing is that once I was in high school, I started appreciating playing basketball a lot more, and I started playing when we were playing like 2-on-2s and 3-on-3s in gym class, and I started actually getting decent at it years late. I still enjoy playing basketball every once in a while. I just now have lost every semblance of skill that I ever had at it.
Yeah, well, because I'm 6 foot tall and Chinese, I am the center. I am the big guy. It's like, going into the big guy, that's me.
Yeah, I am 5'11 in Vietnamese, but I went to a wealthy, mostly white school. So okay. It's also a sports magnet school.
Yeah.
You were part of that program, right?
Of course, right? No, I wasn't. I was going to try and make something up, but I just couldn't do it.
Oh, come on. These people don't know you well enough. You have your opportunity to lie to them.
Yeah, okay, so I was 5'11", but I could dunk.
Oh, yeah.
Just like...
Yeah.
Like Spud Webb.
Like Spud Webb, exactly.
And you broke the glass, right?
Yeah, it wasn't because of Shaq, because Shaq didn't shatter the backboard in high school. It was because of me.
And then you took the rim off the board and created a little heart out of it, right?
So unlike
you gave it to the girl you liked.
Yes.
Unlike Chocolate Thunder, you were Yellow Thunder or something.
I was
Yellow and Thunder. Yellow Rain and Thunder.
They tried to call me the Yellow Peril for a while, but it didn't really work out.
Yeah.
They tried to call me the Dominator. That stuck a little bit better.
The Yellow Dominator?
Yeah.
That sounds like a yellow toy.
The Dominator Thunder.
It's got a little lightning bolt on the side. And you just put it on the table, it goes... Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yellow Thunder. Boom!
But, you know, this isn't really about us. This is about the sports that we watch and the people we love and the teams that we love. So we're actually going to go into something that will be a little more historical, a little less autobiographical, and we'll go into our favorite sports moments in our personal fan histories, you know?
Ooh.
Danny?
That's the thing. I mean, I'm trying to think back. The main one that sticks
choose
out
right now.
Choose a sport. What?
Choose a sport first.
Okay, start football.
Okay.
Tyree. Helmet. Ball.
David Tyree in the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Oh, the helmet catch.
The helmet catch.
Eli Manning ducking like six men. at least that's how it goes in my memory.
That's pretty much how it goes in real life, too,
okay,
when you watch that video again. There's a lot of ducking and dodging and dipping and diving and dodging.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Correct.
But yeah, in terms of professional football, that's the one that sticks out.
Okay. Kevin, what about you?
In terms of football, man, my memories are really bad. But I don't remember who they were playing. Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. John Elway.
The helicopter?
I guess so. Was it the one where
he was
just
diving and
he dove got in?
Hit,
yeah,
and he got hit and he spun around. Yeah,
yeah,
that was
yeah.
It. That
I
was,
love that.
40?
It's better in slow motion. Way better in slow motion. We could see like the grit in his teeth. he's ready to go in there. And then for basketball, God, I can't remember this one very well either. And it was the Rockets and Knicks, I think, in the finals. And it was Robert Horry three-pointer at the end.
Oh, Robert, Big Shot Bob. Danny loves Big Shot Bob because there's a song about him.
Yes, Robert Horry saves the day. It's a great song.
God, I mean, just like how many times I've seen him, like, you know,
just sink it,
do the clutch shot, and I'm like, wow. Because the thing is, I didn't grow up with Michael Jordan, so I'm not used to that.
That's true. I think I was there for like the last championship that Jordan won. I was able to see that one on TV because I do remember seeing him like. I remember them talking about, yeah, if he retires, this will be a great shot to retire on. So just, you know, it's just such a textbook jumper. He hits the basket at the end, and when he's celebrating, he jumps up so high in the air, and the angle of the camera makes it look like he kicks somebody in the face. He's so happy. But it was actually just the other guy being sad.
So yeah, the Elway helicopter spin was 1998.
Okay, who are they even playing? I know they were playing in Denver, the Mile High Stadium. I forgot. They destroyed them anyways.
It was, let's see, Super Bowl 32. It was up against the Falcons that year?
Really? Falcons were good that year?
Doing the Dirty Bird. No, it was the Packers. Okay.
Yeah, that made it even more sweet.
Yeah.
Because I hate the Packers.
That's fair.
Being Alex, a 49er fan for so long.
Yeah. As a 40, being a 49ers fan for a long time, you learn to hate pretty much everybody who's not the 49ers, but your special hate is reserved for the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. If
hate,
you're old
hate,
enough.
Hate, hate, hate.
Yeah,
hate,
yeah.
Hate,
I
hate,
used
hate,
to hate,
hate
the Cowboys, hate, and then I hated the Packers.
And there's for those of us who are older, there's also some hate for the Redskins and the Giants.
But
wow,
really,
that's a lot of hate.
The thing is that when you grow up as a fan, you root for the laundry and you hate everything that's not your uniform.
Yeah.
Really. It's like, okay, I can deal with you guys, but when you're up against my team, you can all die in a fire.
Hate.
That's kind of true. I'm very used to always cheering for the underdog. Unless
that's a very American thing.
Unless my team is up.
Yep.
Then I don't care. If they're the underdog, destroy them. Yeah. Flatten them.
Exactly. So, Alex, what about you? Your favorite moment?
I got two. One, my favorite moment for actually being there was the play.
Oh, you were there.
One moment while I shake my fist at you.
And the band is on the field!
Yeah, I was in high school.
At the game?
I was at the game. My cousin gave me tickets.
And by the way, Kevin, you may not remember this, but this is actually an Elway moment.
I know, it is.
My cousin gave me tickets in the Cal student section. So my dad and I went, and we were sitting in the Cal student section, and it just went crazy.
Go crazy.
But it was a great game the whole way through, too.
Yeah, I mean, people forget about this because of the play, but John Elway had to stage a very, very crazy drive. It was like 4th and 28.
Yeah,
something crazy. Yeah. And so he converted.
The Cal section's hearts were broken, and then they kicked it off, and we returned it for a touchdown, and everybody was just going crazy. So that was awesome. Yeah. The other one for when I was not actually there was the catch, which was Dwight Clark.
The beginning of the 49ers dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against the Cowboys.
Yes.
Even better.
Even better when you just get to say, suck it, Cowboys.
Yes.
It's why every year I root for Tony Romo to fall on his face.
Suck it, Cowboys.
Suck it, Romo.
Aces out, Romo.
Thank you for that Ace Ventura reference. Good job.
Oh, my God.
You didn't realize that?
No, I just got it when he said laces out. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah.
And the other great football reference in movies is
Favre.
I know, like, before I actually started watching football, I was, you know, just absorbing a bunch of football cultural references. Uh-huh. And the oldest one I can remember is Scorpio.
Scorpio?
If you ever on the East Coast, give us a call. Oh, the Denver Broncos.
Homer, haven't you always wanted to own a football team?
You just don't understand football, Marge.
So I'm going to cheat about this because I always cheat at these things. And I'm going to go by category. By sport.
So what's your favorite badminton moment?
No. I'm going to ignore those. Okay, so my favorite college football moment was a DeSean Jackson punt return where Thomas DeCoude
dude,
managed to steamroll three UCLA guys in one block.
I'm fairly certain Bosworth is still feeling that.
And the thing is that the next year, when we rushed the field after the big game win, we found Thomas Dacoud. You were there for that one. I'm like, Dacoud, man, I loved it when you knocked the out of that UCLA guy. He's like, thanks, man. But yeah, that block is amazing. There's probably a poster of it. There's a YouTube video set to Wu-Tang Clan. Okay, so favorite basketball moment. I was there for this one. The Warriors' victory over the Mavericks.
Oh, man.
I was there for that. That was the reason I bought season tickets to basketball for the next 2 years. I was also there for the Baron Davis dunk over AK-47.
Yes. That was posterized.
That was posterized, where just like, get out of my face, I'm going to dunk over you, even though you're 6 inches taller than I am. Where he actually literally does shove his face out of the way. He has a hand on his face and pushes him.
That is the definition of posterized.
Yes. No, the definition of posterizing is Vince Carter rubbing his balls on a Frenchman.
Leapfrogging the Frenchman.
I know that poster.
Yeah. Well, he didn't actually rub his balls on there, but when we were kids, we imagined that because it was funnier. So anyway, those are those two. Baseball, my greatest moment was when Alex and I went to the San Diego Padres game where Barry Bonds hit 755.
Yeah.
We were there for that, and then we left early. The Jazz were bad that year. Yeah. And also, the valet parking was going to close.
Yeah.
And so, and then football, 1995 Super Bowl was the greatest one.
Which one is that?
Steve Young's win.
So 29, right? Super Bowl 29.
Yeah.
The Chargers?
Against the Chargers.
Oh, good win. I love that one too.
And those
are Deion Sanders play offense.
Yeah. And those are the major sports I follow. So those are the ones that I'm going to be content with. Those are my four favorite sports moments.
What about badminton? Chess.
I don't care. My favorite moment in chess is when I watched. So the thing is that watching chess on television, they actually do televise certain chess matches. And it's dull as all hell. It's like, oh, he's going to have a bathroom break now.
It's dull?
Even when they fast forward. like the thing is, it was, I think it wasn't Karpov. It was Kasparov against Big Deep Blue. And there were
so you don't even show, you can't even show the computer doing anything.
Yeah.
You show it thinking.
The thing is that since it was a virtual board, he had to put on special glasses to see the board. And so it's like, this is what the board looks like. And they would show a diagram of it because you couldn't see it. There was no actual physical board. Well, the board was physical, but the pieces were projected onto the board, and he had to put on special glasses for it. And he would take naps in between moves. And it's like, this is the dullest thing ever. I mean, even the World Series of Darts was more interesting than that when I watched that on ESPN.
The World Series of Darts sounds awesome.
Actually, this is kind of off the topic, but ESPN, when they first started as a cable channel, their motto was, we will show any sport.
as proven by the following fact, I have appeared on ESPN2.
So there you go.
For the National Spelling Bee.
Oh, okay.
What?
I'm sure that if you dig around 1994 somewhere, then you can find video of me in the National Spelling Bee. Because they showed it.
Oh, there's going to be that one guy looking for it.
To the listening audience.
You're like, I looked at the 1994 spelling bee.
It might have been 1995.
Mr. Dominic Nguyen, and I did not see a Dom Nguyen or Shirt Guy Dom in the video.
Incidentally, if you do happen to find it, YouTube it and send us a link.
Yeah, I mean, I can watch my Jeopardy episode whenever I want,
oh
thanks
my
to
God,
YouTube.
I can't believe that.
Anyway.
It's like, oh, I want to look for Jeopardy episodes. Oh, there's all these ones with this guy named Ken, and...
Dom.
There's some Dom one. Let's watch this Dom one. Well...
Well, he didn't win.
Okay.
So, anyway.
I will tell you another sports moment that I was at was your Jeopardy game.
Oh, that's right. I brought it up there.
How does a game show?
It's not a sport.
Okay,
it's pretty close.
It's a trivial sport. I mean,
it's a trivia
sport.
It's a trivia competition. They keep score. There's
your
time.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex, do you remember that show on ESPN Classic, Cheap Seats, where they would go through old ESPN footage and make fun of it?
Kind of like a Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, because the thing was that ESPN in the vault has the most random crap in it.
Yes, because they used to show anything.
They had mini golf on ESPN back in the day.
ESPN, regular ESPN?
That's all they had. They didn't have ESPN 2 yet.
Yeah, they just had such...
And they didn't have the
bad stuff.
They didn't have the contracts for the major sports either. So they couldn't show Major League Baseball. They'd show Little League Baseball
or minor or league baseball,
high school baseball.
Wow, this was like really,
really, really early,
early
on,
right? When not everyone had cable. Not like nowadays, where it's like cable is not a
back when MTV showed music.
Whoa,
that's how early it
music
was
on television. That makes sense.
Okay, so these are the things that ESPN used to show in the ESPN archives. They also, by the way, Cheap Seats was able to draw from the ABC archives from this. They were able to do Wild World of Sports because of the Disney thing.
Yeah.
But among other things, the National Spelling Bee, right? Celebrity sporting events.
Oh,
what does that even mean?
Yeah, that used to be fun.
Steve Garvey's Invitational. It's kind of like Shaq Versus, but with older celebrities.
Wait. I've seen something like this before. Where they take
like
football
rocks
players
versus jocks and stuff like that, right?
Oh, rock no, I've seen where they take football players and have them play against each other in basketball on a beach.
But yeah, let's see here. They also used to show the World Series of Poker before the thumb cam, before the table cam. So the announcers would just guess.
No, just let him play a hand while they're there.
I think he's got it. Oh, nope,
never mind. He was bluffing.
Actually,
oh, he got me.
Then you can't even tell if they're bluffing.
No,
right?
You can't.
Oh my God, this is stupid.
That's his tell. That's his tell.
And the thing is that I'd rather see the mini golf.
Yeah, ESPN showed that because that's what they had.
Do you think that people that can't make it to professional javelin throwers become dart throwers?
There are professional javelin throwers.
Yeah, well, the
Olympic ones are technically amateurs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Olympics.
So that could be me?
In almost everything, it is considered to be an amateur sporting event.
Yeah.
So if you go professional in certain things, then you cannot compete in the Olympics anymore. They've
made
exceptions.
Like basketball?
They made exceptions for basketball, soccer, tennis.
Was the dream team.
A bunch of others.
Oh.
Yeah, they changed that recently enough that you remember it in living memory. The first year that they let professional players in basketball was the Dream Team, 1990?
92, I think.
And then they were like, oh, damn.
Oh, damn, more people are watching this. This is good. Because I think it was 1980 was the Great Screwjob, right? Or something like that.
80 was...
The basketball Screwjob.
No. 80 was a boycott, year.
Yeah. Oh, it was a boycott year, that's right.
Because that was in Moscow.
Right.
76 was also 84 was also a boycott year
LA.
Because they that was in LA,
right? So it was I think it was 76 or something like that where it was college players and they got screwed over.
It was probably 88 actually.
Because that was probably right 88. Before. Yeah, I think David Robinson was on that team in college or something like that.
That was in Seoul, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I mean the ESPN it still shows everything. Every once in a while, I turn on ESPN during like a lull period.
Well, it has to be like ESPN 2 or something.
Not always. Well, they show pool on main ESPN when it's
pool.
And then they also, I saw the World Series of Dominoes on ESPN once.
Yeah, I've seen the Strongman competition.
Oh, Strongman
those
are awesome. Crazy. Well, yeah,
except that it's not the Strongman. It's a Strongman competition.
Oh. Yeah, the big thing about ESPN, though,
is that the one where they pull the train?
Yeah, they pull the train. They lift, you know, they lift the cabers. And
does that also involve the chainsaws on the... Is that some sort of wilderness lumberjack challenge?
No, that's a different one. No, they have lumberjack competitions.
The one where you cut the logs with the chainsaw.
They have cutting logs. Yeah. They have log rolling. Where you try to roll the other person off of your log.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What? So very
it's like American Gladiators for big, burly men.
What do you think American Gladiators was?
Well, no, American
Gladiators. Even the women were big, burly men.
Yes, but not the challengers.
Right.
Right.
Whatever happened to American Gladiators?
They tried reviving it, actually.
They brought it back, and I enjoyed it, and it was gone.
They tried to bring it back in primetime TV.
Maybe there was a
difference. Actually, I think that was during the writer's strike.
Oh, so the writers came back.
Yeah.
Darn.
Written writers.
Television, where people think about what they're going to do. Actually,
what's
even,
up with that?
I don't even feel like that's what we have on television now.
The second American Gladiators was, in fact, 2008, which was the writer's strike. So there you go.
What other gems came out of the writer's strike?
Oh, Dr. Horrible.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
I meant terrible things.
Not horrible things.
Not horrible, but terrible.
Horrible, but terrible.
Let's see, there's the giant influx of reality television.
That was already in progress, though.
Well, no, that's how they filled their gaps, though.
There was the famed and stupid Conan O'Brien and Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert feud.
Yeah.
I remember that. Okay.
And I was in Japan during that time, so I followed it all on YouTube.
Yeah, and YouTube wasn't biased about the writer's strike at all.
Of course not.
Although everybody was on the writer's side, so it doesn't matter. So anyway, let's move on with...
What was the question?
we didn't have a question. We were just talking about ESPN.
Okay. Writer's strike.
Next.
ESPN.
Okay, this next question that you have here is a little facetious, given that we've all pretty much grown up in the same area and have the same loyalties. But what are our favorite sports teams?
My favorite sports team...
Hey, alumni!
Go!
Bears!
Go!
Bears!
Go!
Bears!
Okay, that covers it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hey, what team are you cheering for?
Hey, guys, if you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I would.
Would you eat the sun if it was made of ribs?
And no, this does not
what
actually
to say. I'm confused.
And no, this actually doesn't mean that our favorite team is the Cubs.
Just say yes and we'll move on. my favorite college team.
Dude, you're within arm's reach
is,
of all of us, man.
I believe any sport, Cal.
Yes.
My
that's
least
true.
Favorite for any sport is Stanford.
Yeah, spelled with a U.
Yes. Sometimes when Stanford doesn't participate very much, then I hate USC more.
That's true.
Stanford is willing to kick a woman with cancer
out of her home. That's true.
Okay,
that's true.
So let's just set the stage here. This woman's been living almost rent-free to this landlord that's been pretty nice to her. She doesn't really do much to, like, the property or anything.
The landlord, I think, died recently, right?
He died recently, and in his will, the property is supposed to be handed over to the nearest educational institute, which ended up being Stanford for some reason, even though the home is in Union City. So... So it ends up at Stanford, and so everyone's saying like, oh, okay, so she actually has to be evicted because Stanford's going to evict her. And I was like, well, you guys, you know, me being the nice Cal person was like, well, it's probably because Stanford hasn't replied yet. I found out yesterday Stanford did reply and said, well, I mean, that's what we got to do. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, and the thing is that
this house is probably worth like $200K. Who cares?
And the thing is that her lawyers are saying that, and her doctors too, are saying, because she has terminal cancer, if she gets kicked out of her home, she will lose the will to live and die. Thanks, Stanford.
That's Stanford. Good job, you guys. Your band is so good.
So good
band.
That they're no longer allowed anywhere within like a mile of Notre Dame.
Yeah, or Oregon.
They're also banned from Oregon for a while too.
They were on the no fly list for a while because they wanted the entire band to go to one side of the plane and jump up and down.
Yeah,
good job, guys.
I would have preferred. Well, if it was just them on the plane and the pilots had parachutes,
okay,
I say that's okay.
Or the pilots were also from Stanford.
Or yes, that is okay too. Robot pilots, I'd feel bad for the robots.
If it was, I wouldn't have allowed it if it was a penguin flying the plane.
The penguins
can't fly.
Quack quack.
Penguins can't fly.
Was that really a penguin or more like an Aflac duck?
No, that's actually what
that's the
penguin
Burgess
does.
Meredith penguin.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like in the critic.
Get up, Rock.
Or that's Jon Stewart doing his version of Dick Cheney, the penguin.
He has the penguin, yeah. All right. So anyway,
Stanford's pretty terrible.
Yep.
Stanford anything pretty terrible. Stanford,
true.
Like, even education, pretty terrible. No.
Well, it depends, honestly.
Depends. Stanford people wear a lot of those.
Well, yeah, so the thing is about the Stanford education is that you have a very good education available to you there, but you have to actually take advantage of it there, which the system doesn't require you to, because you can drop a class before the end, even it's right it, before they, the final.
Not anymore. They used to allow it between the last class and the final. Now you actually have to drop before the last class.
Okay.
Oh, before the last class.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. What's ours? 2-3 weeks in?
You get 3 weeks to make sure you're in the class. Also, at the same time, you have 3 weeks to leave.
Yeah, see that? See, if you look at the two plans, one of them seems normal, and the other seems ludicrous, like terminal cancer booting ludicrous.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So I don't like Stanford.
Yeah.
Just if you.
Yeah. In case you were wondering what his real feelings are.
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll actually do the S word Stanford podcast, and we'll spend the entire time just beeping ourselves out. It's like that's what we think about Stanford. Good night, everybody.
That one should be in video.
So that we can mosaic our hands.
And burn things.
Yeah.
We're talking about our favorite sports teams.
We're talking about our favorite sports teams. Although you went to our least favorite sports teams.
I love Cal. And I'll tell you this, though. I mean, growing up in the Bay Area for football, I followed the 49ers for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And
when the ownership changed
for basketball, though, I followed the Warriors for an entire year. I think this was considered one of their worst seasons.
Oh.
I think they won 16 games. 12,
it's been bad.
Like
you don't have to.
It was a Don Nelson year.
It was one of those historically bad.
We still had
bad.
Tim Hardaway at that time.
Oh Lord!
And boy, did he try hard every game because his team could not do anything.
There was one game where Tim Hardaway shot 19 times and missed all of them, which is I think still a record.
Tim Hardaway on that team was the first time I ever heard what they deem a shovel shot. Yeah. A shovel shot is when you jump up in the air, you keep the ball near your balls, and then you granny it up.
It's a jumping granny?
In the air.
It is jumping granny. I have never seen it since, and that's the only time I've ever seen it.
Alrighty then.
I did not know it was a real shot.
I bet Rick Barry taught him that shot.
He could have.
But then I followed the Hornets for a while when they had Morning, LJ, and Muggsy.
Yeah, they were an exciting team.
And then freaking MJ has to show up and destroy the dream.
He destroyed everybody's dream. Remember? I mean, the dream himself, Hakeem the Dream, only got his championships because Jordan was
gone.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll retire. Woohoo!
Yeah. I hear this voice in Houston go, yes! My time has come.
But yeah, in terms of basketball, I didn't follow basketball that closely while I was here. I mean, I knew of the Lakers when I was a child. The main thing is, I do follow the Lakers' records these days. It's basically, what's the word I'm looking for? Stockholm syndrome. From
oh yeah, you're
having
your roommate,
a roommate,
right?
Who would punch the wall with enough force to crack it. Or with enough force to crack the drywall whenever the Lakers lost a game.
Like, he had the police called on him a couple times,
yes.
Didn't he?
Well, what happened was he punched the wall, he did damage to the wall. So he stopped that and started punching the door instead, because the door is stronger. But it also makes more noise when you hit it. So, the cops came by once. And, you know, checked to see if there was any disturbance. And he had to tell them, no,
well,
the Lakers
are just
losing.
Or that not was even around when didn't you just... actually lose, they were losing.
That's actually when you discovered the Ballad of Robert Horry, right?
Yes.
Speaking of basketball, my least favorite team is the LA Lakers.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you figured it.
Alex, what about you?
I'm totally stereotypical. I vote for the... I'm totally with the geography, so...
You vote
Giants,
Democrat.
Yeah. Giants,
Niners.
49ers, Warriors,
Sharks.
Some Raiders and A's, the Sharks.
Earthquakes.
California, California Golden Bears. When I was in Japan, I rooted for the Dragons. Yeah, and...
You didn't vote for the Nippon Ham Fighters?
The Grampus 8 of the J-League. So yeah.
Wait, is Ham Fighters?
No, it's Nippon Ham, the sponsor, and then the Fighters. But
it sounds better as the Ham Fighters.
Yeah.
I used to think it was the Ham Fisters.
Okay, moving on.
Yes, because they're sponsored by Nippon Ham, and that makes them
Fisters. Yes, Ham Fisted.
Ham
right?
Fisters. What does Ham Fisted mean?
Ham Fisted means
kind of strong arming.
Strong armed. Yeah.
Like, see, that's a pretty good name.
And blunt. So anyway.
Strong armors.
So my favorite teams are, let's see, the 49ers. That's a surprise.
Surprise.
Really?
The Warriors. Although I've taken a hiatus from Warriors fandom until they get bought. because I just can't stand them in their current
state. Come on, Larry Ellison, I know you're listening.
So here's the thing is, like I said, I was
in your center.
I was there for the crazy Cinderella playoff run when they beat, when 8 beat 1 for like the first time in NBA history, and then they were playing the Jazz and they were playing pretty well, but they got beat. They got really beat by the Jazz because Carlos Boozer is a monster. So I followed them for a while. It was hope. It was hope that I hadn't seen since Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway. Who else? Oh, Mitch Richmond, Run TMC were on the team. Then it all went tumbling down again. So my analogy for it is, so imagine that you had like a really hot college girlfriend. And then you part ways because, well, it was your college girlfriend. It wasn't meant to last. And then you meet up again, and you find out that she's become a crack whore. And you go, oh God, oh. But then she cleans up, and she becomes respectable again, and she's like, hey, you know, I remember good times with you, you remember good times with me, let's get back together again. And you go, okay. And then she goes back into crack. That's me and the Golden State Warriors.
Your analogy of the Golden State Warriors is a crack whore.
Crack whore ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
Yes.
Crack whore ex-girlfriend.
Good to know.
Okay. So anyway.
So your ex-girlfriend was on the cover of Crack Whore magazine?
Ever since the golden age of Niners football, we have not been allowed to have nice things in the Bay Area. I mean, I remember carrying Aaron Rodgers off the field after the big game and someone handing him a rose. And guess what? Guess who my least favorite college football team is? Texas. It's not Stanford.
That's why I was looking forward to Texas coming into the Pac-10.
So we could set Mac Brown's car on fire. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
No bitterness at all.
So
yeah, I do enjoy watching Texas fail.
So anyway, in reference to what's actually being said here, those of you who aren't aware of the politics of college football, that year, Aaron Rodgers led Cal to a 10-1 record, which in many cases, if they had managed to get like a number 4 ranking in the national polls, would have meant they would go to the Rose Bowl. However, Mac Brown was fighting for that number 4 spot as well, and he voted his own team number 1 in order to get them more points. Jeff Tedford was honest about it. He voted Cal number 1, number 4, and Texas number 5. And guess what? Texas leapfrogged Cal. Guess who was left out of the Rose Bowl? Aaron Rodgers. Who, by the way, is still a little bitter about it. Did you see him on Twitter?
Yeah. Because he posted on Twitter, USC, who had won the Pac-10 that year.
Oh, it wasn't 2004, it was 2006, wasn't it?
It was 2004.
It was 2004, okay.
2004,
they had won the Pac-10 that year, but were using an ineligible player who was retroactively ineligible.
Was that Bush?
Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. Aaron Rodgers put on Twitter, so I'm waiting to hear about my
Pac-10 championship ring. He was razzing a teammate of his who was on USC at the time. So they actually played against each other in their college days. Yeah, that's another thing. I can't hate the Packers right now because they have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I still feel like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's not his fault for being on the Packers, but still.
He could have been a 49er instead of Alex Smith. So.
Yeah, that's not his fault.
That's not his fault.
I wish he was a 49er.
I wish he was a 49er,
so
too.
So much. Even a Raider.
I mean, you gotta have respect for a man who's willing to attempt a Shoryuken on national television after throwing a touchdown pass.
He has done that. It's true. He's done the Dragon Punch. But anyway, so my least favorite football team is the Cowboys. I want to see all of them die because I especially liked in the 90s when all of the cocaine was flying around and they were called Columbia's team, mockingly, instead of America's team, which is what they officially try to call themselves.
Yeah.
Let's see. My least favorite basketball team is a toss-up between the Lakers and the Celtics, whoever's on top at the time.
Were you cheering? Were you cheering for the crack in the ground for the finals?
Oh, I was cheering for the fault line.
Okay.
whenever the Lakers versus Celtics come on, which is funny because the very first sports video game I ever played was Lakers versus Celtics in the NBA playoffs for the Genesis.
Yeah, my first basketball video game was Magic versus Bird.
I remember that game.
The thing about that game, Lakers versus Celtics, is that it's legendary for one reason. Because Tom Chambers could dunk from the 3-point line in that game. And it always went in. And so Tom Chambers in that game has become just as legendary as Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl. Who, if you look up Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl, there is a there is a video of someone going for about 300 yards on a Bo Jackson run because he's just that much faster than everyone else in Tecmo Bowl. Like, he, first of all, the first play he does is he runs back to the one and kneels. Then he gives Bo Jackson the ball. Bo Jackson runs from the one to the other one, runs from one sideline to the other sideline, dodging guy, circles for a while, runs back to the other one-yard line, then goes back for the touchdown. He takes the entire quarter on this, and you see approximately 50 missed tackles on Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was the original broken character in any video game. It was awesome. And then they followed that up with Tom Chambers, who dunking from just inside the three-point line.
Well, I was wondering about that.
If you leave your feet behind the three-point line, well, I mean, in terms of like the NBA rules, if by some unforeseen circumstances you manage to get enough momentum to reach the basket from the three-point line.
That's a good question, and I don't know.
Drugs are not strong enough for them to do this yet. Wait, well, 2 years.
Oh, do you remember those little Shaq commercials, though, where it's like, it was Shaq, wasn't it? Or is it Larry Johnson with the grandmama?
Grandmama
was Larry Johnson, but yeah. the future basketball is like, well, when I was young, we didn't have the 15-foot-high basketball hoop and the moving one and stuff like that.
Oh, yes, I remember
moving
this.
Hoop. It was Shaq, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal commercial. You know what? Let's take a tangent. Let's talk about our favorite Shaquille O'Neal commercials because he's had so many fun ones.
Or just sports commercials in
general. Sports commercials in general. Like, This Is SportsCenter is an amazing, amazing campaign that they've been running for, what, 20 years now?
Yeah, and they also had a one for the Baseball Tonight series.
Yes, that's right.
There's been some awesome
So let's
ones
just talk about sports commercials because, you know, because sports is such a big business, the commercials are a huge business too, and they make a lot of those really entertaining.
Yeah, it all started with the Super Bowl, really.
Yeah. Danny, can you think of one?
You know the rules. You kill the Joe, you make some more. It ain't new, baby.
The Terry Tate office
long day, a long day up in this biz.
Wow, mine's not even close to that.
But wait, you had a story about Terry Tate office linebacker, didn't you? Because you logged onto the site and put your age too low. You told that one before, I think.
Yeah, I went to the online site and then I entered my age wrong.
Well, and by that you mean you put in your actual age.
Yeah, I put in my actual age, and then they're like, "Oh, you have to be 18 to see this," and then you could never get back in. Well, back then you didn't know about clearing cookies and stuff, so it was like. What
Aww.
The?
Aww.
They didn't even at least send me like Disney.com or anything. Dude, I don't watch television that much anymore, so I don't remember the commercials very much. But just to date myself on when I used to watch basketball, there was a Nike series, or it was Nike.
Gotta Be the Shoes, is it that one?
No, it was the Revolution, and then they said the Revolution will be led by Jason Kidd, Jimmy Jackson.
Wow.
I can't remember the middle guy. Then Joe Smith and Kevin Garnett.
Wow.
Wow.
And I'm like, those guys didn't really lead the revolution.
No. Two of them may be Hall of Famers, but...
Yeah. But I was just like, I don't really remember much. Well, especially Joe Smith.
Yeah. Was it Jason Kidd that during the last Olympics, he was sad because he actually had to shoot the ball a couple of times?
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't just go for nothing but assists.
Yeah. I mean, he knows his role.
Yeah.
He's really good at it. It was also Jason Kidd who, upon joining the Mavericks, said, "I'm going to turn this team around 360 degrees."
And he did.
Yes. Cal alumnus.
No, he didn't graduate.
No, alumnus just means attended.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Which also may be in question whether he actually attended.
But hey, he took Cal to the Sweet 16.
Yes. Over Duke.
So anyway, Alex?
The earliest sports commercial that I remember is "Tastes Great. Less filling. Tastes great. Less filling." That was when John Madden actually became really famous, too, in those commercials.
Oh, tough actin' tenactin'.
Tough actin'. Boom. Tough actin'
It puts
tenactin.
Out the fire. It's got the little fire on the guy's foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't so much entertaining as it is funny from the third-person perspective.
Yeah. Also, the Baseball Tonight one where... Mark McGwire is hitting home runs, and then what's his name, Maddox and Glavin are staring at him.
Oh, it's just the long then, ball, right?
And then everybody is still watching Mark McGwire while these guys are working out. And then they start working out really hard, And they show the training montage, and then they show Glavine and Maddux hitting home runs, and then Heather Locklear comes by and says, "Hi, Tom." After Tom Glavine hits a home run, says, "Hi, Tom." Says, "Hi. Have you seen Mark?" Chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah. That's a pretty legendary one. Chicks dig the long ball. There's so many, but one of my favorite ones is this is SportsCenter commercial is the Y2K test.
Oh yeah.
It's like, okay, why everybody's talking about this Y2K thing. Well, we're gonna see what happens in ESPN when January 1st, 2000 comes around. All right, Y2K in 3, 2, 1. And all the power goes out. It's like, uh-oh. And then it goes into the cubicle farm, and it's chaos. There's like a fire in a barrel. Like Charlie
Steiner?
Steiner has a tie wrapped around his head like a bandana. He's like feral. Mark McGwire is randomly just bashing a printer with a baseball bat. Charlie Steiner's like, "Follow me. Follow me to freedom."
Yeah. Oh, there's another one, speaking of Charlie Steiner, where they pull off a trade between SportsCenter and Melrose Place.
What?
And Andrew, I don't even remember his name. One of the guys from Melrose Place is on SportsCenter doing the sports. And then Charlie Steiner shows up in Melrose Place and says, "Hi, I'm the new pool boy."
I remember that one now. It's kind of gross, actually. Other good ones include the basketball tour episode commercials that they had going this year for ESPN, where the conceit was that they had a bunch of basketball players in an RV going across the country. And they were playing, it was Stuart Scott sitting across from somebody playing Scrabble.
A-S-T-I-C. Shaktastic.
My turn. Shaktus. Where did you get all those cues?
Don't worry about it.
And they show the board and there's all these Shaq words.
Yeah. Oh, another great series is the McDonald's series with Bird and Jordan.
It was Bird and Jordan. They were playing horse.
They're playing horse. And the winner gets the Big Mac. And so it's like, okay. Off the backboard.
Nothing but net.
Okay.
Right. Over the scoreboard.
Over the scoreboard. Off the right stands. Nothing but net.
And then it ends with them on a blimp, right?
Off the lamppost, through the window.
Over the freeway.
Yeah, they're like outside at that point.
So, yeah.
And then it ends with them on top of a blimp, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And then they did that again with, I think, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. And then at the ending of that one was Bird sitting in the stands eating a Big Mac.
Yes, I've seen that.
Like, I've been there. Good commercials, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, one more that sticks out in my head. Grant Hill drinks Sprite.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that.
If you want to play in the NBA,
practice.
If you want a refreshing drink, try Sprite.
What happened to Grant Hill? Injuries, right?
About Grant Hill is that he played too hard for his own good. He was in a contract year, and everybody expected him to mail it in. He got injured, and he insisted on playing, and that ruined his ankle for a good 3 to 4 years. I think he might still be playing on the Suns. He was playing on the Suns this year.
I think he still is, yeah.
And so I don't think he's retired yet, but he's one of the all-time good men in basketball.
I remember he had a lot of sponsorships when he just started.
Yeah, do you remember the other Sprite commercial? I remember a big Sprite commercial with him. It's like, "Hi, I drink Sprite." And there's like an honesty meter on the bottom. And I drink Sprite. And then the Sprite thing showed instead of him enjoying a Sprite, showed him just lifting hundreds of dollars.
Yes.
Ching, 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 ching. And then it's like, oh yeah, that's right. It was a meter of how much money he'd made from this commercial. And like once he starts drinking Sprite, it just shows him like swimming in money, style. It's like Grant Hill is a highly paid athlete. You are not. Drink Sprite for your thirst, not because some athlete tells you to.
Yeah, and then there was those LeBron Kobe ones.
Oh, the puppets.
No. The puppets.
The puppets.
The rings.
Yeah. Where are my 4 championship rings?
I don't know.
Where are my 4 shiny championship ring?
I just want
Have you
wrong.
Checked your championship ring trophy case?
Oh, you oh, mean you this?
What was it? I don't know why we live together.
Yeah, I don't know why we live together. That was a good ad campaign.
God, too. I really want LeBron to finally win. Wait,
yeah. Once LeBron wins, he will be a billion-dollar brand. Oh, man. All right, let's get back onto your outline. Let's go to favorite sports movies. This is going to be a fun topic.
Oh, dear. Give me a second.
So I'll just go. We'll just go through really good sports movies.
My favorite football one's been consistently Rudy.
Rudy is legendary as a movie. It's true. Rudy is just the underdog story. And he doesn't even care if he wins at the end. It's, you know, that kind of movie.
There's the first sports movie I can remember, The Mighty Ducks.
Quack. Quack. Wow. Quack.
Yeah, quack. For quack. Hockey, I was like, I don't know if it's The Mighty Ducks or Miracle.
Slapshot.
Oh my God, Slapshot.
Kind of, sort of, Happy Gilmore.
I don't like Happy Gilmore. But then again, I've told you several times I don't like Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
So.
It's totally fair. We're going to go into some of the true classics.
You want to split between not serious and actually serious?
Yeah, let's go for funny movies first. Funny movies first.
Major League
is great.
Major League is awesome.
Bull Durham
is awesome.
Air Bud.
No.
Dodgeball.
If you try
funny movies.
Dodgeball is a funny movie.
Space Buddies.
Kevin, I'm going to hurt you.
We have enough microphone cable here to choke you, sir.
A movie I don't like, Space Jam.
Yeah, I didn't like it either, actually.
Yeah.
I was okay with it.
What about Hoosiers?
As a funny movie?
I'll save that for a dramatic movie.
So let's see. Other funny movies that have come out that involve sports at all. I mean, Bull Durham and Major League are the benchmarks, really. Because
and Dodgeball for the totally
for giving a even if nothing else, Dodgeball entered the pop culture lexicon with the Ocho.
Yeah, ESPN 8, the Ocho.
I still wish that in Dodgeball they did the original ending where they lose.
Yeah.
But no, America needs them to win because they're the underdog.
America only loves a winner.
Why can't we have our movies all be downers?
All of them?
Like the Koreans.
Yes. In Korea, they wouldn't have just lost the last match.
Someone would have died.
Would be blind, and someone would die.
At least 2 or 3 would have cancer.
And they would disappoint the little girl that's dying of cancer. And then she dies of cancer.
Because she's lost the will to live and Stanford evicts her.
Yes. I can see that movie right now.
Damn you, Stanford.
Air Bud 4.
Damn you, Stanford.
I think we don't really have anywhere to go beyond Major League and Bull Durham, do we?
Well, there are a bunch, but a lot of them are really, really bad.
Tin Cup as,
I don't like
as
Tin
hilarious.
Cup.
I like Tin Cup.
I liked it, but I didn't find it hilarious.
Oh, no, it's not hilarious.
Let's see here. Major League 2 was not hilarious. League 3 was very not hilarious.
What was that?
Was a 3?
Huh. Was that one with the kid who had the arm thing and the on the
Rookie of the year?
Rookie of the year.
What was the other one? Little Big League, right?
Well, that was the one where he was the manager.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Angels in the outfield.
No, I was actually going to think of the Bad News Bears, which is kind of
Bad News Bears. Yeah.
That's a good one actually in the not serious side of things.
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV does make me laugh, actually.
And Rocky V is a joke.
Yeah. I mean, Rocky
IV, not funny, though.
I was watching that training montage again where it shows, you know, Ivan Drago doing an actual, like, monitored workout. And it shows Rocky in a barn lifting a wagon.
Oh, no, he's got the thing over his
The ox yoke?
Yes. And he's, like, running in the snow being chased by the communist guy. The KGB is following him. And then they have to show Ivan Drago getting drugs. Because, you know, state-of-the-art technology is not enough for him to win.
Yeah.
And then you see him, like, lifting weights in front of a bunch of dignitaries. And they go... You remember that part?
No,
I don't.
I remember the part in Rocky II at the end of his montage. The kids come join him.
Oh, well, for unintentional comedy, the best one is the Rocky III workout. that ends in Sylvester Stallone in like a bright yellow tank top
on
and Carl
beach,
Weathers
right?
in pink and having this really sweaty slow motion dancing hug.
Yeah, the dance hug in the
sunset,
ocean.
In the ocean. And it's like, wow, that is perhaps the most homoerotic thing of the 80s. And then you watch Top Gun and then you go, okay, never mind.
Yeah, well, Bad News Bears came out when I was like 7.
You had
I was totally in love with Tatum O'Neal after that movie. So yeah,
let's get into the serious sports movies though, because there's a lot more of those,
like Shaolin Soccer.
Oh God, how did we miss Shaolin Soccer?
Okay, yeah,
I was like, should I say it?
I don't know.
Say it.
Karate Kid. Oh yeah,
Karate Kid's a sports movie. That's true.
What about Rounders?
That's poker. Poker is a game, not a sport.
Maverick.
Really. All right, we're back.
Back to the Future 2.
Was there? Oh, it was about sports betting, right?
Gambling. It counts. Sports gambling.
There was skateboarding.
Yeah, and hoverboarding.
Oh, we can't let this go without mentioning the unintentional comedy of Gleaming the Cube. Which was a skateboarding movie.
I love that movie.
What the hell?
Were you here for that?
I still don't know what the hell that is.
You were here for Gleaming the Cube.
Yes.
Man, I haven't even put up the stuff segment that goes beyond that.
Yeah. So anyway, so let's get into more serious sports movies, like A League of Their Own, which is a fine movie.
It was partially comedic as well.
Partially comedic, but it was mostly dramatic.
I really like Tom Hanks in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no crying in baseball.
Of his, yeah.
Okay, here's a question. Is Field of Dreams a sports movie?
Yes. Field of Dreams is a sports movie. I was going to get into it at the end.
Okay. It's about the baseball.
Baseball. Baseball.
Baseball always has the best movies. The natural.
Yeah,
as well.
It's because baseball is about it has enough time to tell a story. Because whenever you do a baseball movie, you can have drama in the silences, you know? You don't know what's going to happen next. Is he going to hit that home run? Is he going to get shot in the stomach again or something?
Yeah, there's no real...
What?
Well, football has some room
the natural.
Tension, but there's also clocks, so...
I thought you meant during a game.
Sure. It's happened. Don't you remember... what was that movie with Wesley Snipes,
queen.
I think?
Oh, must kill
wait.
The queen.
Wait.
You just took Leslie Nielsen and Wesley Snipes.
No, I wasn't talking about Naked Gun.
And created Leslie Snipes.
Did I say Leslie Snipes?
Yes. That's why I said, what?
What? Wasn't it The Fan? It was like the,
The Fan. Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Must kill the queen.
Reggie Jackson. Good job. But,
Enrico Palazzo.
Enrico Palazzo. Oh, actually, The Naked Gun did a really good parody of baseball at the time. That was awesome. Yeah. But anyway, so serious movies. But yes.
There was Bend It Like Beckham and Goal.
Well,
and Dream Begins Here.
Victory with Sly Stallone as the goalkeeper, the American who can only play goalkeeper.
Do you remember an old...
And Pele.
Do you remember an old Disney direct-to-television movie that had Tony Danza playing a garbage man that eventually became the world's best goalkeeper? If you know this movie, please email or Twitter to us what the title is, because I am dying to know. I think it's actually called
The Garbage Man
Who Could Play Soccer or something like that.
It was the 80s Disney Channel, so I wouldn't be surprised. 90s Disney Channel? Okay.
Yeah, you got to remember, Tony Danza had no career to do this.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, the thing about baseball movies is that baseball is about its gaps, and you fill in the gaps with story. Like, basketball movies, whenever you go into the game of basketball, it turns into a fast-paced montage. The boxing movies, you can afford a lot more time in there. Because
we didn't even say Raging Bull.
$4 Million Baby.
Million Dollar Baby, Raging Bull.
More Raging Bull, really.
Yes.
Raging Baby Bull.
What?
Ah, that raging baby bull in that china shop.
Well, baby bull is the nickname of Orlando Cepeda as well.
Orlando Jones used to sell 7-Up. Do you remember Orlando Jones?
No. Hey, he was big 7-Up Yours guy.
Yeah,
I remember that.
What happened to him?
He didn't go into voice acting, unlike his counterpart on Mad TV, Phil Lamar, so his career became largely irrelevant.
He was great in Drumline.
Oh, yeah, I do like him in Drumline. Does Drumline count?
Sure, why not? We can, okay. We can call Bring It On a sports movie, too.
Oh, I love Bring It On. God, I wish I didn't say that so enthusiastically. I've seen, well, there's three of them. I've seen the first two.
The fact that you even know that there's more than one is worrisome.
Bring It On is great.
But yeah, I mean, baseball is a fundamentally American story, and you can fit in a lot between the lines there.
Well, yeah, baseball's like,
and also
at least three times as much weighting as any other sport.
And
I
baseball
can think
is also more about the individual, and so you know, there's only a few stories you can do with a team. A team you have to bring them together, and they either have to win or they end up losing. And you know that's what the hockey movie is about. That's like a lot of what the football movie is about in a lot of cases.
So you're saying hockey and football movies are more like
ensemble movies,
the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
And then baseball movies are more like X-Men Origins Wolverine.
No. Major League 2 is more like X-Men Origins Wolverine, come to think of it.
You mean Major League 3 or Air Bud?
Yes, Major League 3 Back to the Minors.
I would watch Air Bud over X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I think 2 was Back to the Minors.
Oh, was it? Okay.
What's 3 then?
I don't care.
Did you ever see Basketball?
Yes.
Oh, Basketball.
Yeah.
The only good thing about the good thing about Basketball is the opening narration, and that's it. The Louisiana Jazz moved to Salt Lake City, where music is banned. The Oakland Raiders moved to L.A. and back to Oakland, and nobody cared.
Poor Raiders.
Yeah, Major League 3 is Back to the Minors, Danny. So
what's
suck
two?
It.
What
the
hell's just 2? Then?
I think it's just called Major League 2.
Is Airplane
it's just called
them,
Major
so
League
whatever.
2.
Does Airplane 2 have a subtitle?
Airplane in Space!
Yeah, besides what it really is.
It's actually called Airplane 2, : the sequel.
Right.
As though the 2 didn't tell you. Oh, I guess
it's Airplane. That's what they do.
There could be a movie with Airplane 2.
Actually,
like the Airplane is number 2.
Come to think of climactic,
like United 93.
Climactic, dramatic sporting sequences. Have you seen Strangers on a Train yet?
No.
Strangers
this
on
is a Hitchcock film, right?
Yeah. Strangers on a Train ends in the most tense tennis match you've ever seen in a movie, because I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Wait. More tense than Death Note?
What?
Spoilers for Death Note as well, for some reason.
Oh, well, whatever.
Wait.
Yeah, none of us actually recognize it other than Danny, so...
Hikaru no Go.
I don't think that was ever
for Bobby Fischer.
Freaking, I love sports anime. I do have to mention this.
Because you love... you love Ippo.
No, I really love sports movies, though. And then sports anime...
Oh, you own
up,
all of iShield. iShield is great.
Holy crap. I didn't know that you guys had this stuff. And then I was lost.
Alex and I are big on baseball manga, but mostly baseball manga from one guy.
Everyone's saying it's so good.
I love Cross Game.
Yeah, I started
it. Is it better than Touch?
When it first came out.
Ooh, is it better than Touch?
Is it better than H2?
Yeah, kick one
it's
of
better
it.
Than H2.
Okay. It is better than H2. Is it? It's not as long as Touch.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I know that. But I love Touch.
I love Touch, too.
Then again, I cheated, awesome. And I watched just the movies.
The movies are really good, too.
Well,
actually.
I mean, they're just the shortened versions of the series.
Yeah, but I say Cross Game is on the level of Touch. It's comparable.
It's up there. It's up there. Whether it's better or not, I don't know, but it's up there.
It is up there. So I highly recommend Cross Game, especially since, did you see, Viz is selling it in omnibus form, so you'll get like 5 volumes at a time.
Oh, they did license it?
Yeah, they did license it.
Oh, thank God, because I was like, I don't want to read a scanlation. I hate reading off a screen.
Yeah, and so the thing is that they're selling like big old omnibus editions. It's like 600 pages.
Oh. Is it oversized, too?
Yeah, I think it is.
Nice.
Yeah, I read it all in the Japanese version.
Yeah, you guys are...
But
I
first
Japanese
got... Like,
when you get the original sizing.
The very first one came out while I was in Japan.
Yeah,
so.
And then Alex told me about it. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Adachi Baseball!
Adachi Baseball, when does someone die? He's like, well, the end of Volume 1, actually.
Spoiler. So.
It's not even that big of a spoiler. It says it on the back of the book.
Yeah, details.
You know when those volumes
who reads
have,
the
like,
back
a
of the
subtitle?
Book before they read the book?
The subtitle is so-and-so dies.
I mean, yeah, so the thing is that Alex brought me the first book, and he's like, here's the book. I have to cover up all of the cover, otherwise it's a spoiler. I'm like, just show me where she dies. He's like, oh, that's a spoiler.
We're still in spoiler territory, folks.
Okay, you can start listening again.
Mahajime no Ippo, oh my God, that was
the part where he eats the bear.
Oh, he has to eat the bear, yeah, and then he wears the skin. Spoiler. Not really. The best part is in the EPO games where you fight the bear, and then you unlock him for versus mode.
Wait.
And then you fight him in the boxing ring. And no matter who you choose to fight the bear against, the bear swipes you once, you're dead.
What?
But the bear is very difficult to control.
I'm thinking of Grappler Baki, which is just disgusting.
Oh my god, Grappler Baki. Okay, I will say.
Okay, yeah.
I was very put off when he stuck his fingers into the guy's neck and cut his nerves.
Yeah.
So here's
freaky. That's freaky.
Here's the thing you need to know about us and Grappler Baki. There's a running gag with us, mostly because the first subs of it were so bad that they didn't know what endorphins were. So they translated it as brain candy.
No, brain coffee, that's right.
And so, yeah. So since Grappler Baki and Hajime Nobu were finding out about both series at pretty much the same time, and we went, well, I could read Hajime no Ippo, which is a very well, you know, well built, well thought out series, well paced series, or I could read about brain coffee.
And also, Grappler Baki is disgusting. It's just outright disgusting.
Yeah, they do all sorts of gross stuff in that.
I know. In the one of the more disgusting things is that they have a sex scene and it is treated exactly like a fight scene, with the sunburst splashes and like the move names being shouted out and stuff.
I don't know if that's serious.
I am quite serious about this.
I believe you, which is very, very scary.
So anyway,
I don't believe back you, down which unfortunately that, means I have to go look for it now.
Coming back down from that, do you recommend if I would you recommend for me to watch either Beyond the Mat or The Wrestler? Are both
Beyond
of those
Beyond the Mat is
the documentary with like Jake the Snake.
Wow, that's old.
It is old. I haven't seen it
the
yet.
The Wrestler, I was disappointed by.
You were disappointed by it?
I will say I was disappointed by it.
Okay.
Too much hype.
Too much hype. Was it still a good performance for Mickey Rourke?
I'm glad Mickey Rourke is working again. It's just a Mickey Rourke performance, really. I don't know so much of... When I see him now, I don't get this feeling like he was ever a has-been and he needed to come back. But I guess maybe at that time... I think the timing was better.
Okay.
If you saw it when it came out.
I see.
It's one of those films. I don't think it's going to age very well.
I see. Okay. So I won't watch that one then. I just wanted to know. Because I was a big wrestling fan when I was in college.
Wrestling.
Wrestling fan, technically, yeah. Like, it was... Hulkamania when I was a kid.
Back before
big old
it was
gap.
WWE. Not...
Yeah. And then when we were in college, I had so much free time. I was like, fine, I'll just watch wrestling. It'll entertain me for 3 hours.
So wrestling is always a storyline, right?
These days. Well, it's always been, yeah. Since
yeah,
like, the
as far
late
back
70s.
As I remember.
Yeah.
And so you had good guys and bad guys?
Yep, faces and heels, depending on which way you enter to the which way you face the audience, basically.
Really?
Yeah, and sometimes you switch sides.
Yep.
Well, a lot of the times, like sides. Superheroes, then.
Yeah. Actually,
it is
a lot of parallels.
It's very much like a superhero soap opera.
So, is Stone Cold Steve Austin a good guy or a bad guy?
He was a popular bad guy.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. The Rock was a good guy.
The
or
Rock
a bad
was mostly
guy?
A good guy. The he started off
Rock,
as a bad. Yeah. Thing about the Rock is that they tried to make him a bad guy.
Well, no.
And he was bad at it.
They started by making him a really good guy. They made him, you know...
too good.
They made him too good. You know, he was perfect at everything, and he was doing really well at everything, and he was just this big...
And he was boring to people.
And nobody wanted to watch it, because he was annoying. It was like watching Wesley Crusher wrestle. So, and then, you know, so as part of the storyline, they made him evil. And in the process of making him evil, they handed him a microphone and let him do stupid stuff.
Is that when he started doing the eyebrow thing and
yes.
saying, can you Part smell what the rock is?
That's when he started telling people to shut up. And it turns out he's really good at telling people to shut up.
It was when he started developing the attitude. And even when he was a good guy, he kept the attitude because it went over so well with the audience.
Then he became the Rock Obama.
I wish they'd done better with that, but it's Saturday Night Live, and they will never really do anything
I like
good.
The Saturday Night Lives with The Rock.
Well, with The Rock, yeah, when it's him,
especially
like...
Especially the Superman one,
where he's like, he got the Superman thing just sticking out. It's like, really, I am Superman, right? Something like that?
Yeah. And they're like, no, you couldn't be. You've got like the glasses and everything. You're too dorky, Clark.
Speaking of sports commercials, you see that SportsCenter commercial
with Dwight Howard as Superman.
Yeah,
it shows him in like a seersucker suit and like a bit of the dorky fedora with the glasses.
He's got the press pass.
Yeah. He's got the press pass and really big glasses. And it's like, what's wrong? Let me through. What happened? Well, the coffee machine caught fire. And then Superman came by and he froze the coffee machine. It shows this coffee machine in an ice cube. And then Dwight Howard just looks at it and goes, wow, like, you sure were lucky that Superman was around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah.
What were we talking about? Movies. We were talking about sports movies, like that part of Superman where he plays baseball with himself.
Oh, yes. And in Twilight, where they play baseball with each other.
That's not baseball.
It's vampire baseball.
Is that what they're calling it?
Or Quidditch.
I've never actually seen scene. I just know about it. Oh, and Quidditch. My favorite Quidditch movies are the Harry Potter ones.
Yeah. I think so. They're right on the edge, though.
Yeah. Actually, no, when I think about it, I don't know if Harry Potter's are very good. It's Quidditch movies.
No.
I definitely prefer
Quidditch the movie.
Quidditch the movie. Quidditch 2, the sequel. I'm glad they're, you know, reinforcing that the 2
means that
is not part of the name.
Well, you know, in this day and age, you need to know that because otherwise people won't understand they're connected. I mean, that's why they have to stick the Twilight Saga in front of everything.
Isn't Snatch a Quidditch movie as well, or is that something else entirely?
But The Dark Knight did not put Batman in its title.
That's true. It just had the Batman logo.
It's going to be more awkward to, when the third film comes out, call it The Caped Crusader.
Is that what they're calling it?
I'm betting it'll be something
Or The World's Greatest Detective?
I don't know about
the
that
The Goddamn
title.
Batman?
I'd watch that.
I'd watch The Goddamn Batman.
I don't know if Warner Brothers would be like, okay, Chris, what do you have for us? Well, okay, in this one, Batman's a total dick.
And he beats children and kills cops.
And
not only that, but he like verbally abuses Robin. Are you dumb? Are you retarded or something?
Well, actually, I think Christian Bale could do that.
Yes,
actually. And then the trailer will end with him saying, "Who are you? I'm the goddamn Batman." And then the title shows up. Christopher Nolan presents The Goddamn Batman.
I would watch that.
I don't think you're getting that movie.
I'm actually rather thankful I'm not getting that movie, but I would watch that.
Okay.
I would immediately rank it over Batman Forever.
Who would your villain be in the Goddamn Batman?
In the Goddamn Batman, it would have to be all of the woman villains for Batman to beat.
I'm right with this conversation. Dangerous territory.
Thanks, Frank Miller. It's Frank Miller, really. If Frank Miller wrote it, that would be it. Because you've seen the Frank Miller movies.
Can you believe that Xerxes thing is coming out now?
I can believe it.
What is this?
Xerxes, it's a prequel to 300.
Yeah. He's actually doing a prequel to 300 called Xerxes now.
Okay.
Scissor me, Xerxes.
What?
Good job, Frank.
Thanks, Frank Miller.
I still want the Dark Knight Returns
DKR movie with old Batman. We would have Adam West like put on 50 pounds of muscle for that movie.
Yeah, I don't see that happen.
Or I wouldn't mind his Frank Miller's Batman Year One.
Yeah, that's true. Year One was a good one.
Well, they already tried to. Batman Begins tried to be a little bit more Year One-ish. There's not very many elements, but still, it's like a little too late now to do it.
Yeah.
Until someone screws up. We don't have a new Batman.
Yeah, until Chris Nolan gets booted out like Sam Raimi, right?
Yeah, until Batman goes emo and starts dancing.
And then they try to stick like 5 villains in one movie.
And he'll fight Ashton Kutcher this time. Or the Hispanic guy, whichever one.
Oh, God. Well, they'll just have Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis?
Might as well just have... let's bring in some news radio people, too.
Yes, sure.
Have Dave Foley in there and...
And Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan as the
Riddler. Sure.
That's a good idea.
The Riddler will host Fear Factor. That'll be great. Yeah. What were we talking about again?
Fear Factor, the movie.
We were supposed to be talking about sports, right? Sports movies. Because of that part in Superman where Superman plays baseball with himself. That's where we came from.
No. How does that become Batman?
Actually, it was Dwight Howard.
Oh, no, I know it. It's because I said something to the sequel, and then we ended up talking about how The Dark Knight has no Batman in the title.
That's right.
I'm sorry, this is all my fault.
Yeah, okay.
That's You're not you apologetic at all.
Don't worry. We'll let you cut this part out.
You and your touching games.
Man, it's been a long time since you talked about that.
So anyway.
Now we have to put that back in the...
All right. Let's get back on topic a little bit. We're talking...
What's the last topic?
Sports!
There's a few more. There's a few more if you want to go through them. If you want to talk about the World Cup, we just finished watching this game, which was heartbreaking, but it was the most interest that we've had in soccer in years.
You know what I have to say about the World Cup?
Thanks, Alex.
If anyone's wondering, he's rhythmically shaking his hand with something in it.
It's got a lot of gel around it. It's wriggling. A little bit solid. I guess it's trying to stay solid.
Yeah, and by which they mean my iPhone with the Vuvuzela app.
Thanks, Alex. You can turn that off now.
Vuvuzela. Okay, I'll tell you. Who would have ever thought of the word Vuvuzela until this year?
South Africans?
South Africa.
Yeah, I never heard of that term, but...
Outside of South Africa, probably no, but...
Those things have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
They're just not 30, 40, 50,000 of them.
You mentioned in a different world, in a different placement of the World Cup, those weird inflatable clapper thingies would be all of the rage somewhere.
The thunder sticks.
Yes.
No, I'm just thinking...
Imagine those
like,
going worldwide.
Well, I'm just imagining right now, going biblical a little bit, if the Jews had marched around the walls of Jericho with vuvuzelas, those walls would have gone down faster than in 7 days or so. Just marching around Jericho, blowing vuvuzelas. Those walls would have gone down.
Well, that would be the people inside Jericho tearing down the walls in order to try to reach them.
And how much they wouldn't have enough plastic to make all those movies. Good Lord, can you imagine the landfills after this thing's over?
So many discarded plastic trumpets.
You can probably melt down all those vuvuzelas and create a school from them.
Probably.
Several.
I wonder what their mascot will be.
The vuvuzela?
Yeah. I want it to be a giant bee.
But I mean, here's the thing is that you guys have seen this on Twitter. Like Kevin even was paying more attention to the World Cup than normal, which is...
I will say Twitter has definitely made me more aware of the World Cup.
Yeah, because this is the thing is that, I mean, 4 years ago, Twitter didn't exist. Facebook barely existed, I think. And now, with all of this social media going around, it's hard to avoid the Twitterverse, and it's hard to avoid everything that's big in the world, like the World Cup.
Twitter taught me Portuguese.
People blogged about it in 2006, but it wasn't nearly as big of a deal.
Yeah.
It's hard to quickly get to blogs.
And now, you know, you can have this little, you have a phone in your pocket and it tells you exactly when a goal is scored. It tells you what your friends think of it. It tells you who's watching. I mean, this is the thing. Over Facebook, I have exchanged more words with Eric over the last 3 days than I've spoken with him in the previous 3 years.
Yeah,
about this World Cup. Then again, it's very hard to speak with him because of the time difference and the fact that, you know, he lives across the Pacific Ocean. But still, I mean, he's staying up until like 6 a.m. to watch these games. And
we're waking up at 5 a.m. to watch these games, and it works out.
Yeah. Well, this last in 2006, I was in Japan and the World Cup is just totally way over what it is over here, but still... I was reading that the TV ratings for the game the game started at 3 a.m. was 30.5.
So they got a very large number
of
people.
That's a big old chunk of hangover.
Yeah.
Oh, well, especially since they started drinking after they won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show up at work after you get drunk.
Yeah. I was talking to Eric about that one. I'm like, how are you still awake? He's like, coffee. Lots of coffee. They can't keep the pot full at work. Because everybody stayed up and they watched the World Cup there.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, we're watching the World Cup more than ever, partially because it's on ESPN and it's everywhere. It's very available to us.
Yeah, it's available on streaming, so people can watch it on work.
Go France. Go Italy.
We go home.
Yeah. We are now. Yeah,
that's like us.
We had the American underdog story, the cardiac kids. We had the Schadenfreude story where France and Italy got unceremoniously kicked out.
You got the South Korean condom story.
The South Korean condom story was a fun one for me where when they won their first match in World Cup. Was it World Cup history? No.
No, first cup outside of their home soil.
Outside of South Korea, that's right. Then they set a record in South Korea for the number of condoms sold in the day. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was comedy gold for days at a time after
so
that.
Think about how much unprotected sex was going on.
Yeah. Okay, everyone write down the date.
You can count 9 months. Happens. We'll check the birth rate.
Oh, man.
That is a good idea. Oh, man.
It's a little terrifying.
World Cup babies.
But yeah, I mean, my sister is going to South Africa for the World Cup, and it's going to be pretty awesome hearing from her. She has tickets to the third place game. Oh, boy.
Woo!
But she's going. She's really excited about going. And, you know, America just got really excited about this, the likes of which you haven't ever seen for a soccer event, even when it was in America back in 96. 96? 92. 92.
I really feel like it's because the internet age has really made the world seem smaller.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, yeah, we get a much more of a feel of how the rest of the world is treating it.
Also, there's all those people at work who have much easier access to the game itself.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of people at work, this started with the NCAA tournament, of course, but they're just monitoring the games constantly at work because they can. I mean, Kevin, you follow the text stream.
Streaming on a video.
Yep,
I follow the text stream. In a window.
Text.
I follow the Univision stream, and it's good because Univision announcers have a much more excitable nature. That's what they're paid for. And so whenever, like, even the ball approaches somewhere where it could be scored, they start getting louder. So that's when I know when to tab over.
Yes.
And then, you know, you get the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful goal! Che golazo!
10 seconds? That's it?
Ooh. I can go longer if you want.
No!
I figured I wouldn't want to do that.
Oh, fine.
I mean, I'm looking at the waveform for this in Audacity, and it's just insane looking. Hey, look, it's as if someone was shouting.
Great. I'm sure the listeners will love you for this.
I know, right? This is why I'm editing this one.
It's fine.
Turn down, de-amplify that portion.
Probably. I even faced away from every single microphone, and it's still loud.
Hell yeah.
So what's next on your category of fun bags?
Whoa! Fun bags. Whoa! Hold on. Well, okay.
What the hell do you have
category of
bags?
Fun
no fun.
I'm not participating.
Well, we can talk a little bit about the Olympics. Let's talk about that. Kevin, you had that listed. So, do you have anything to say about it?
Korea is good at shooting.
Oh god.
Oh man, when we were in Korea,
I told the story, but you tell your version of it now.
Yeah, when we were in Korea during the Olympics, every country has their own set of sports to show during the Olympics because it'll be the sports that that country is good at. And so for Korea, it was shooting.
And archery.
Table tennis, archery, and
taekwondo.
And taekwondo, but taekwondo wasn't on at the time.
Right.
So at the time, it was judo.
It was judo.
And that's pretty much all we saw.
I've seen sailing.
You've watched Olympic sailing?
It's terrible.
Hey, but surprisingly, Olympic curling is fascinating.
Oh, of course, because you can see something.
Yeah, that's Winter Olympics.
Sailing is Olympics. Pictures of boats. Okay.
You
that one might be going
fuck.
Faster than that
it's
other
a schooner.
One.
Scooter is a sailboat. You know what? The Easter Bunny isn't real. He's just a guy in a suit. Sorry.
What?
Mallrats.
All right.
Which is not a movie I normally make references
yeah,
to.
Yeah, this say. Is quite odd for you.
Yeah.
No, that's the Olympics for you.
Yeah. I went to the 84 Olympics in L.A., which was like the last Olympics to make money or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Every single Olympics after that has lost money.
That's not right.
For the host nation or for everyone?
For the host nation. In fact, the Athens Olympics is probably at least partially at fault for what's going on in Greece right now.
I figure it's like building a stadium. The cities are footing the bill so that they can increase tourism.
Yeah, but it doesn't pay for it back.
Wait, so China didn't? Well, I mean, they spent a lot, and I guess they'll get it.
But they
back
had the money.
They'll get it back so, in the
yeah,
long
they'll print
run.
More money, whatever.
Yeah, and South Africa had to build a bunch of stadiums for the World Cup.
Which will go fallow after this, pretty much.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Next World Cup's in Brazil. That's going to be crazy.
I want to go to that one. I want to go to Brazil.
I just want to be in Brazil during that World Cup. I don't even need to go to any of the games.
It'll be like a gigantic nationwide party. It'll be amazing. I mean, don't you want to see that? Come on. It'd be soccer in Brazil.
I just hope Galvão's still commentating because I want to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear what all the fuss is about.
Calabouco Galvão. So it's whenever there's a Brazil game on, it becomes the number one Twitter trending topic. And people were like, what does that even mean? Because it's Portuguese.
Because, yeah.
And the Portuguese went, oh, man. All right, it's time. And they decided to pull one over on the world. And they made up a story about how the Galvão is a small endangered bird.
It's a small endangered green-feathered bird. And they're saying that the feathers were all disappearing due to climate change and those headdresses that they make for Carnival.
And the thing is that they started going, it's like, yeah, Lady Gaga is coming to Brazil to record a song to help save the Galvão's. So this is what a Galvão actually is. He's the announcer for Brazil's World Cup matches. And cala boca means shut your mouth. So whenever someone's... apparently he really, really gets on the nerves of Brazilians. And so the number one tweet whenever that a Brazil game is on is, shut your mouth, Galvão.
Lovely.
Even outdoes Justin Bieber on those days.
Oh, my God. The Biebertrons are a lot quieter nowadays.
Thank God.
That's the World Cup, after the World Cup's over.
Yeah. The Biebertrons will be back.
But yeah, that's the Olympics and the World Cup and Twitter.
The World Cup has been breaking Twitter.
So much fail
overcapacity.
Right after a goal, fail whale. Right after a game ends, fail whale.
Yeah. When Brazil is playing, it's like a 90-minute fail whale. Spain, too, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I say Brazil and Spain in the end. Are they on the same side?
Brazil and Spain are on the same side.
Oh, that's the game to watch.
Brazil and Spain is going to be a game to watch. That'll break everybody. Yeah. It'll shut down industry in the entire half of the world.
Well, if both teams needed to win, Brazil Portugal would have been an awesome game to watch. But
they didn't. They just punched around.
That was a pretty lame one.
It was a really lame one. Let's go on to the last topic, the one that Kevin has listed, one that's supposed to create a lot of argument in us. Who is the greatest athlete of all time?
Oh, yes,
all time.
Duh.
I'm going to cop out of this one, and I'm going to say Jim Thorpe.
I am saying Kevin Costner.
Which Kevin Costner? When he was Crash Davis?
Sure.
Or Tin Cup Kevin Costner?
Or Waterworld Kevin Costner?
Waterworld Kevin Costner.
What about Postman Kevin Costner versus Waterworld Kevin Costner?
I will take Waterworld Kevin Costner.
Is it because of the urine power?
I do enjoy seeing him drink his urine. It's delicious.
Somebody make a ringtone out of that.
Anyway.
I will say Sam Cassell.
What? Is it just because you liked him waddling down the court doing his big balls dance?
His E.T. head.
His balls dance.
Him and Robert Horry. Together on the Rockets. Man, what a great team.
Hey, Robert Horry won a championship with the Rockets.
What's that football player that has a whole bunch of championships and was injured during one Super Bowl during the coin toss?
What?
I'm not sure anymore.
What?
Yes, I'm not joking about this.
Let's see.
Of guys that I've never seen, I'm going Jesse Owens.
Of guys we've never seen.
Guys,
I've never seen. I'll also include Muhammad Ali in there.
Oh, I've seen him. I should have brought that Superman versus Muhammad Ali comic.
they're re-releasing that comic this year.
Really? Are they?
Yeah. They're doing a hardcover version, and if you want it still in the original prestige format, the hardcover version of that.
Wow.
Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
It's
going to
be freaking awesome.
I should have brought
the
trade
paperback too. And there's three different versions coming out. They're milking this one.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Indeed they are.
Isn't it like...
Wait, why are they bringing it back out even?
Right? I don't know. They're doing a whole bunch of old stories that have been out of print, like Great Darkness Saga and things like that. So.
Wow.
They're coming.
Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
Jeez.
It's right there.
Superman's the greatest athlete of all time. He can play all 9 baseball positions.
Yeah, and he can beat, or not beat, Muhammad Ali in boxing. I'm not spoiling it.
It's older than like 3 of us combined.
Yeah, but you don't know, do you?
Get to there.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to say Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron.
Okay. For baseball players, I'd go Willie Mays.
Oh, Willie Mays. Willie Mays. Yeah.
Best or Jackie Robinson.
Best basketball player of all time. Do you go with Bill Russell or
I'd go
with
Michael Jordan.
I go with Bill Lambeer.
I love his name.
For the elbow in the face.
Yeah, awesome game.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Bill Lambeer or Uwe Blob as your favorite basketball name?
I don't know. I go with Manute Bol.
Oh, as your favorite basketball name?
Yeah.
That guy's a good guy, too.
He was a good guy.
He's a good guy.
And
he just recently passed away.
Yeah.
Sam Bowie.
Ah, Sam Bowie.
For those of you that don't know Sam Bowie.
Here's the thing.
He was pick number 2.
Number 1 in that draft, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hall of Famer.
Number 2 in that draft.
Number 3 in that draft.
Number 2 in that draft, Sam Bowie. Number 3 in that draft, Michael Jordan.
Ah, Sam Bowie.
Best player ever, probably.
Yeah, probably the best basketball player of all time. Michael Jordan.
And then number 2 is Ben
Sam Bowie. What about best cameo by a basketball player in a movie? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
Hey,
over,
I know you.
Roger? Over, Roger? Roger, over.
I know you. My dad has season tickets. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, I'm not, kid. I'm a pilot. My name's Victor.
I like him in Forget Paris when he gets evicted from his farewell game.
I can't believe you guys are bringing this up. I liked him in Game of Death.
When he was kicking
Bruce Lee. Kicking Bruce Lee.
Yeah, so Kareem, basically. Yeah, Kareem's pretty awesome. And Kareem missing his own question in Jeopardy.
Oh, yes. Oh.
It's like, Bill Russell? No.
When you think about it, what are the odds that they're going to have a question with yourself as the answer?
Actually, I'm pretty sure that's why they did it.
In Celebrity Jeopardy, it's actually pretty high.
And actually, the thing is that Woodward, Bernstein and Woodward, of All the President's Men, he was on the Jeopardy Power Players one with a bunch of politicians and stuff.
Yeah.
And there were 2 All the President's Men questions about Watergate. And he missed them because he didn't ring in time. And other people got there first. You can see him like basically just vibrating on his buzzer. It's like, that's me! But he didn't get them because someone rang in faster.
Yeah, but it's not as good as him actually ringing in first and missing his own question.
But it was so funny watching him on Jeopardy Power Players.
Yeah. So look that up on YouTube, Kareem missing his own question.
Yeah. Did you guys see that recently there was a category called Alex Meets Auto-Tune?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, you showed that to me.
What is this?
It was an entire category where Alex Trebek talked in his normal voice, and they auto-tuned it into another song, recognizably.
Yeah.
And they had to identify the song. It was usually the second verse of a song that no one knows the second verse to.
Oh, okay.
So he did, like, The Farmer in the Dell.
Right? Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Yeah, in auto-tune.
Look that up on YouTube. But yeah, who else can contend for greatest athlete of all time? Greatest boxer of all time, Clubber Lang? What?
Really? Seriously?
You think that Ivan Drago is better than him?
Don't say Ivan. Oh my God, it's Rocky. Jeez. Actually, Tommy Gunn.
Why is there no love for Apollo Creed?
Or what about Polly's Robot? I still love that.
Or what is it? The video game Rocky from Rocky Balboa?
Oh, man.
Happy birthday, Polly. I also think that's my favorite joke on Family Guy.
The Polly Robot?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, really? Who's going to know this joke?
You?
I knew, and it was hilarious.
That's why they do all their jokes on Family Guy that way. I mean, there was that one joke on Family Guy where they earned like a maid for a week, and he was riding his maid to the grocery store, and then these 2 Japanese guys riding their maid pull up next to him and was like, it's a wonderful day for a race. And I'm like, oh my God, who would understand that other than me? And I found that hilarious. Which one was that? That was Better Off Dead, right? Not One Crazy Summer is when John Cusack's on a boat, right?
Sure.
Oh, man.
Ow.
Ow. Okay, so greatest boxer of all time for real. Muhammad Ali? Probably.
Muhammad Ali.
Probably, yeah.
Or right. Tupac Shakur.
Greatest football player of all time.
Bo Jackson.
Tecmo Bowl Jackson or real Bo Jackson?
Yes. Bo Jackson with Bo Jackson's
ass. You can't choose gods.
Sorry.
You can't choose Superman for greatest baseball player of all time, and you can't choose Bo Jackson for best football player of all time.
Okay, fine.
I love Jerry Rice.
I would also choose Jerry Rice. I'm a huge Jerry Rice fan. I've always been.
I would choose Jerry Rice, but man, Barry Sanders was great.
Oh, Barry
Sanders. Everybody wanted to be Barry Sanders.
Everybody wanted to be Barry Sanders. It's true. He would just break ankles regularly.
Yes.
Like when he actually literally got people out of their shoes trying to chase him, right?
Yes, he did.
Sometimes their shoes would be actually left on the field.
I love the photos of him doing his cuts, and it's just like, how does the man stay up at that angle?
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So Barry Sanders.
Well, that's the best guy I ever seen. Yeah. Barry Sanders.
Okay. Worst football player is Michael Vick.
Michael Vick as a football player was all right. Worst football player
as a person is
Lawrence
devil.
Taylor.
There have been some pretty bad
Jamarcus
Lawrence
Russell.
Phillips.
That guy who was a wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers and had his wife murdered. Ray Caruth.
Oh
Ray
my Caruth. God, that guy. Oh,
Ray Caruth.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, that guy's horrible too.
There's
a lot of bad people in sports.
Yeah.
But we're just talking about the greatest athletes of all time, not the biggest jackasses. Otherwise, I would say, the entire USC team.
Stanford's band.
The band specifically. Lovely.
Yeah.
God, I don't know.
You don't know for football?
Well, no, I'm trying to think for best football player.
Best football player you've seen, Danny. You've seen.
I've seen?
Hell. You can go back to college if you want. Best
guy with the hair.
Troy Polamalu? Larry Fitzgerald,
Larry
actually.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah. I like that entire Madden cover, actually.
And Troy Polamalu got the worst of it. He was out half of the year with half of the Madden curse.
Yeah, he actually had the injury. But I think Larry Fitzgerald had the better SportsCenter commercial, so.
Okay, with all the things falling over.
Yes. So Fitzgerald, because of the SportsCenter commercial.
Yes.
Man, if we were ranking athletes on their SportsCenter commercial right now, I would have to say, best SportsCenter commercial was Jason Kidd playing piano in the lounge. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
Like, bad day.
Oh, I think I've seen it. Yeah.
But yeah, the two that come to mind right
or
now.
Or also, the bribery one was a good SportsCenter commercial too, but there were too many athletes in that one.
The other two that come to mind right now are Drew Brees for the float.
Okay.
And the one I just saw with the Landon Donovan and the coffee machine.
Where he kicks
the coffee machine and he gives him the yellow card.
He's like, I didn't do anything.
And then he gives him a red card.
Come on, man. Come on.
And he just walks off. Have you seen the Josie Altidore one? They're coming out of a meeting. It's like, good meeting, man. Josie Altidore takes off his jersey and hands it over to a SportsCenter guy and just looks at him expectantly. Guy stares back at him. Starts taking off his tie. He's like, it's an Italian shirt. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this thing up then. We've already talked about a lot of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in our lives.
Usain Bolt.
What? Usain Bolt?
Little bit.
He has just the most appropriate name for a runner ever. You know that? It's like saying it's like Ryan Longwell in football as a kicker. He's just got there's a cornerback in the NFL whose last name is Corner.
Yeah, or our punter named Anger.
Don't kick back in anger. All right. Let's finish this out. Do you guys have any wonderful quotes that you want to end with? Because mine is, and the band is on the field.
Let me see if I can do this.
The Giants win the pennant,
and they're going crazy. Lynch over the right guard, makes the tackle, cuts to his left, makes another cut. He's at the 10, the 5, touchdown Bears! Because I had that playing for...
Well, yeah, you worked in the student store, and so you had that DVD playing repeatedly.
Marshawn Lynch takes the ball, goes right...
Yeah. I'll just say that if you've never seen a Harry Carey sketch... Oh, not the real Harry Carey. The Harry Carey sketch. You can go ahead and just Google around for it.
Just say yes. We'll move on.
Yeah.
You know,
or the who's on first sketch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very good. True. Very good. I'm going to end with this and just say that I did go to Wrigley Field recently, and the guy that they had to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game was Joe Mantegna. Like, really? I got Joe Mantegna to take me out to the ball game.
Wait, Joe Mantegna?
Yeah.
The actor.
Oh, man.
The actor.
Wow.
You ever heard, have you ever seen the one where Joe Mantegna hosts Saturday Night Live?
No.
And then there's a kid in the front row wearing a number 16 jersey. He says, "Wait, you're Joe Mantegna?" And then he walks up, and then he walks out.
Good night, everybody. You can find us on the internet at s-words-podcast.com. Twitter is twitter.com/s_words. Feedback goes to feedback@s-words-podcast.com. And if you'd like to contact any of us individually, well, probably just go through the S-words, because otherwise some people at this table will punch me in the face. But if you pay attention to who s_words retweets and responds to frequently, I think you'll be able to find a lot of the S-words podcast there.
Oh, that's an unfollow call if I ever heard one.
Which one are you?
The one that's about to get removed.
Danny Tai.
Danny Tai.
They're down to the 20. All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going into the end zone. Will it count? The Bears have scored, but the bands are out on the field. And the Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football. California has won the big game over Stanford.
What are you doing? Are you taking
a drink?
Oh.
I'll be right back.
We are aimless without Dominic Nguyen. Yeah, I'm your host, Danny Tai. There's like small soldiers.
Small soldiers.
Saving Private Ryan.
That's totally about sports, right?
I'm sorry, you can't say small soldiers without crediting the predecessors, Gremlins and Gremlins 2.
Red Dawn had a quarterback.
What about Red Heat?